So Jesus gets a donkey. He sits on that donkey and he rides right into the holy city of Jerusalem on a Sunday. A large crowd was following him. He had just raised Lazarus back from the dead. And they're following him with shouts of excitement. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! Jesus was their Messiah, fulfilling the scriptures that were long foretold hundreds of years before. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you, sitting on a donkey's colt. Hosanna. Our king is here. And Jesus is our king. The crowd was excited, waving palm branches, symbols of victory. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is our king. It's pretty easy to shout Hosanna when Jesus is your king. And when he's looking rather kingly, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Hosanna. When he walks on top of the water, Hosanna. When he gives a deaf person the ability to hear, Hosanna, you are our king. When he tells a paralyzed man to pick up his mat and to walk home, Hosanna, you are our king. When he gives a blind man the ability to sight, to see, Hosanna, Jesus, you are our king and you are here. When Jesus comes riding in on a donkey in broad daylight, fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures, Hosanna, he's our king. We shout Hosanna when Jesus is the king. When we catch only glimpses of the power that he really has, he's the king of kings. How wonderfully easy it is for us to shout Hosanna when Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a Sunday to shouts from the crowd. 5 days later, he would be dead. To shouts of crucify him. Welcome to Holy Week. A week where we remember our Lord's last week of his earthly life. How quickly things can unravel when people want sinful things. The crowds of this week show us not only how easy it is to shout Hosanna, but also how easy it is to shout crucify him when things don't go our way. They shout Hosanna on a Sunday and crucify him on a Friday. Why? Several reasons. They want sinful things. The religious leaders are stirring them up, but primarily it's because Jesus isn't the king they wanted. The people had expectations of their king. And when Jesus didn't measure up to those expectations, well, then he's not our king. But Jesus doesn't come to meet the expectations of the people. He doesn't come to meet the expectations of you or I. He comes to meet the expectations of the Father. The people wanted certain things of Jesus. They wanted him to overthrow this oppressive Roman government, to set up a new earthly kingdom of peace and prosperity. And when Jesus wasn't going to do that, well, then he's not our king. Jesus doesn't come to do what the people want. He doesn't come to do what you or I want. He comes to do what the Father wants. So the people are given a choice on Friday by Pilate. Two prisoners. You can kill one and free the other. Release one and bind the other. What do you choose? He asked the crowds. A man named Barabbas is brought forward, a convicted murderer, a killer, one who killed people, part of the insurrection of Rome. He tried to overthrow the Roman authorities. He was an unlawful scum. He was a malcontent, a destitute, a murderer. And then you had Jesus, the humble one seated on a donkey, the Lord of life, the King of the Jews. But the crowds wanted Jesus dead because he wasn't the king they wanted. So they were willing to do anything, give up anything, put up with anything, pay anything, even if that anything was putting a murderer back on their streets, than to let Jesus live. They chose to free a murderer named Barabbas and kill their king instead. Jesus knew this would happen. He knew the turning of the people, the flip-flop of Hosanna to crucify him in 5 short days. But before he would hear it from the crowds, he'd first see it from his own disciples. Thursday of this week, he institutes the Lord's Supper, and he leaves these ominous words on the ears of his disciples. He says, "All of you will fall away from me. For it is written, the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Jesus knew that he would be struck, and he knew his sheep would scatter. It will not matter that he raised a dead man back to life. When he gets struck, the sheep will scatter. It will not matter that he walked on water, or he gave sight to the blind, or he fed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and some fish. When he gets struck, the sheep will scatter. Jesus knows his disciples will leave, even though they promised that they would die with him. He knew it when he sat upon that donkey and rode into Jerusalem. He knew it while he saw the crowds greeting him with cheers and their palms. He knew it when his disciples looked him straight in the eyes and said, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never leave you." Jesus knew that he would be struck, that his sheep would be scattered. He knows the people will choose Barabbas over him, that they would free a convicted murderer, put him back on the streets, live in fear of a killer rather than to let the king live. They would rather choose death than life. Jesus knows that they would unchain the hands of one who killed them and nail the hands of the one who made them. They shout, "Crucify him," because he's not the king they wanted. They wanted Barabbas rather than the Lord. Every one of us has a Barabbas in our lives. Who's the Barabbas in your life? Or maybe I should ask, what is the Barabbas in your life? The thing that you want that ends up nailing your Savior to the cross. The thing that you would give up anything for, put up with anything, pay anything to have, even if it means crucifying the Lord. You're given the choice too. Release one or kill the other. When given the choice, what do you choose between slander or praise? You crucify Christ when you slander a brother or sister, when you gossip about one another. Crucify him. Give me Barabbas. When given the choice, what do you choose between releasing sexual immorality out into the world and in your life or maintaining marital fidelity? You crucify Christ when you look at a woman lustfully or you click those links. Crucify him, give me Barabbas. When given the choice between releasing anger out into the world and into your life or love, even love for your enemy, what do you choose? You crucify Christ when you are angry with one another. Crucify him, give me Barabbas. When you're given the choice between worry for your life or trusting the Father, who do you choose? What do you choose? You crucify Christ when you worry about your life. Crucify him. Give me Barabbas. The king I want will let me worry. The king I want will understand when I get angry, and he'll sympathize with me. The king I want will look the other way when I need to satisfy a sinful desire or two. The king I want will not take my mistakes very seriously, my shortcomings. He'll just chalk them up to nothing. The king I want's okay with me venting about how other people upset me. Crucify this Jesus and give me Barabbas. We get rid of Jesus. each of us in our own sinful ways. Every day, again and again and again. It's easy to shout Hosanna when he looks like the king I want. Even easier to crucify him when he shows that he's not. But he's the king I need. Jesus knew this about you too. He's the king. He knew that you would choose sin over purity when left to your own devices. He knew that you would choose the chains of worry over the freedom of trusting him. He knew it when he rode in on that donkey. He knew it when he stood before Pilate. He knew it when the crowds chose Barabbas. He knew it when he received the blows and the whips and the lashes of the belt. He knew all these things about you, and yet out of love, he still humbles himself to the point of a servant. Humbles himself to death on a cross for your chains. He's laid upon a cross for your sins. The good shepherd is struck on Good Friday, and the sheep are scattered, but he is raised up on Sunday. Therefore, God has highly exalted this Jesus, and he's given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is our King to the glory of God the Father. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Therefore, because all of your Barabbases have been crucified on that cross, whatever your Barabbas is, it's been nailed to the cross of Christ. All your sinful choices, all your thoughts, your words, your actions, they've been crucified. They've been paid in full. All your filth has been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, by God's grace alone. All your choices of death and worry, they've been buried in the grave and raised back to new life, so that we shall sing his praise every day, Hosanna, no matter what life throws our way. Through thick and thin, we shout out, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ, you are our King, and you are here. Hosanna. Amen.